Welkom bij de podcast van Hour of Power Nederland. Je gaat nu luisteren naar de boodschap van Bobby Schuler. De boodschap is in het Engels. Liever met Nederlandse ondertiteling erbij? Bekijk dan de uitzending op hourofpower.nl of op ons YouTube kanaal.
No matter who you are, would you stand with us? We're going to say this creed together as we do every week. Hold your hands like this as a way of receiving from the Lord. Let's say this together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today we'll talk about the famous Good Samaritan story. And I want to just begin by framing this story as an answer to a question. The question is, how do I get eternal life? Now I know if somebody asked me as a pastor today, how do I get eternal life, my first answer is going to be to depend on Jesus Christ, that he was crucified for you, to believe on him and you'll be saved. And that is true. But it's interesting that Jesus doesn't respond that way. That's because this phrase, eternal life, in Luke 10, which we're going to see in just a minute, doesn't just mean going to heaven when we die. The Greek word is zoe. And the idea is that there is some richer, deeper, awesome thing that comes inside of me now, into me, that causes me to live on even after this life is over. That causes me to get up in the morning excited about life. That causes me to walk around the block with a smile on my face, to reach out to my neighbor. This is the kind of life that the Jewish rabbis would talk about in Jesus' day, the idea of living in God's kingdom here and now. That is so awesome, it goes forever. And so Jesus answers that question with the Good Samaritan story. We're created to create and to care for God's creation. Do you remember what God's first mandate was to humankind? It's in the Bible. He says, in Hebrew, the word is, you shall abad and shamar. We're going to do some Hebrew today. Everybody say, abad and shamar. Abad. These are curious words. Abad means either to work or create, to make stuff, to do stuff, to work with your hands. You know, and shamar then means to guard or protect or care for or even curate the creation, God's creation. To see all of God's creation as worth fighting for and worth protecting. And we know in Scripture what God's favorite thing in creation is, right? You know what God's favorite thing in creation is. It's not the trees. It's not the animals. It's not the ocean. It's not the sky. It's you. It's you. And so to guard creation means to care for and guard one another. And we see that all of God's instruction is really about this one thing, loving God and loving our neighbor. And so this is all wrapped up, I believe, in the Good Samaritan. Jesus is sitting with some leaders. They seem like good people. The guy he's talking to, a leader in the law, seems like he's been listening to Jesus based on his answer. And the conversation goes like this. He goes, Rabbi, how do I inherit life? I want eternal life. That's a good question, right? I want to come alive in God's kingdom. How do I do it? What does Jesus say? Do you remember? He answers, classic rabbi, he answers a question with a question, right? He says, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? The man sits back and he gives A-plus answer, right? If you're listening to Jesus' sermons, A-plus answer. He quotes he quotes the Torah. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That's Deuteronomy. And he says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Leviticus. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now, up to this point, it's actually kind of boring. You kind of feel like after the do this and you will live, the man then kind of sits back and says, kind of like, well, you kind of almost hear his wheels turning, like, I've done this, I'm blah, blah, blah. And he says, and the Bible says, because he wanted to justify himself, who is my neighbor? And Jesus now responds, not with a question, but a story. The story of the Good Samaritan. It goes like this. Jesus says, there's a man, and he was walking down this road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, in those days, you know this road. It's famously called the Way of Blood. Why? Well, Jerusalem is actually pretty high, 3,000 feet above sea level. Jericho is down by the Dead Sea. Jericho is 900 feet below sea level. So the walk from Jerusalem to Jericho is on this tiny, narrow road, and it's very dangerous. He says that a man, a Jewish man, was walking along. He gets mugged and robbed, and he's beaten, and all of his stuff is taken, and he's left there, and he's half dead. A priest, on his way back from the temple, going home to Jericho, sees the man, and he passes on the other side. Then a Levite, basically the same thing, sees the man, fellow Jew, fellow brother, fellow neighbor, passes on the other side. Now, in Jesus' day, there were a lot of stories like this. And the stories usually ended like this, because the priests and the rabbis sort of didn't like each other, the priests and the Pharisees. It would then be the third person, then a rabbi, or then a Pharisee comes along and saves the day. But that's not what Jesus says. He changes the story. He says, then a, who's listening? Samaritan. Now, if you made this face when I said Samaritan, that's the right face to make in Jesus' day. The Samaritans and the Jews, as you probably know, hated each other. The Samaritans were seen as sort of the dirty little half-brother of the Jews. Many years before this, northern Israel was invaded by the Assyrians. And so the people that lived there became sort of a mix between Assyrian and Jewish people. The weird thing is they still read the Torah. They still believed in the same Ten Commandments. They still had many of the same ways. And yet their brothers, the Jews, hated them, and they hated their brothers. And so there was this crazy, horrible rivalry that existed. And so here's a Jewish man who should be the enemy. And the Samaritan comes along. You can almost picture him coming down this windy, dangerous road, and he sees this poor man bleeding. He goes, oh no, oh no, oh no. Full of compassion and mercy, immediately takes the man and begins to bandage up all of his wounds and care for him. Takes this very expensive oil and wine and pours it on the wounds, which will clean. So it's a total waste of his money in the ways of other people. He puts him on his donkey, which back in those days was like a Mercedes. Only wealthy people had an expensive donkey, And then he walks this man a long ways. Even though there's danger and heat and all this stuff, he's tears coming down his face. Hold on, my friend. Hold on, my friend. We're going to get you. You're going to be okay. Hold on, my friend. And he walks him to the inn. And he takes him to the innkeeper and begins to nurse him, care for him. Stays overnight with the guy. Wakes up the next day, can see he's breathing. He's feeling a little better. He thinks he's going to probably live, but the man is resting. He tells the innkeeper, here's some money. You take care of him. Any other expense that comes up, you tell me. I'll cover it. And that's the end of the story. Jesus looks at this rabbi, and he says, okay, the two priests went by, but a Samaritan stopped. Which of these three men was a neighbor? Which one was a neighbor? What he's really asking, because he was answering the question about life, which of these three will inherit eternal life? Which of these three are really alive? Which of these three are eating of the bread of life? Which of these three are full of the Holy Spirit? Which of these three are doing all that they were called to do and become all that they were called to become? What does the rabbi say? He can't even say the Samaritan. He just says the man who had mercy on him. The first reason we don't become all that we're called to become, the first reason we don't stop and help, the first reason we don't touch as many lives as we can is because of propriety. You might be surprised by that answer. You know what propriety means? Proper. Manners. Right?
Propriety. Propriety means conforming to the conventional accepted standards
and norms. These Levites, one reason you could make for them not touching the man is Levites are not allowed to touch dead bodies. Now, if they touch a dead body and they go to the temple, they can't serve. But that's not really an excuse, because these guys are on their way home from the temple, so they've already done their work. And furthermore, technically, if they're helping someone and he is dead, there's a very long, annoying process they can go through to be cleansed. But what do they do instead? They go,
it's not proper that a Levite touches a dead body. I think it's that voice. It's that it's not proper. It's not appropriate. That voice very often will squench and destroy the spirit in your life. Why not stand out? Why not lift your hands in worship or when you're praying? Why not pace around the room when you're praying to the Lord? Why not shout to God when you're in need? Why not? The answer is propriety. And that's a stupid reason. Why not? Here's what we do. Just do what you're called to do and let them howl. That's it. Okay, that's reason number one, propriety. Reason number two, why didn't the Levites do all they could do? Why didn't they touch the lives they could touch? Why didn't they make a difference? Why didn't they have an impact? Reason number two, it's because of their hurry, their rhythms, their self-importance. These things always get in the way. Think about how hurry ruins the life of God inside of us. It creates a sort of self-importance. All right, here's a third reason they didn't stop. Can we just say it out loud? It was hot. It's hot. It's hot as all get out. That is a thing they, that's a thing they say in Oklahoma. You might have not heard that. It was hot as all get out.
It's hot as all get out.
It's 90 degrees in the shade. He just says to himself, I just can't deal with this. I just can't deal with this.
Can we say that this is his own discomfort getting in the way of his calling?
I think all of us, if we look in the mirror, it would be amazing how many times amazing opportunities or ways that we could help somebody, we just don't do it because of our own discomfort.
Here's my encouragement to you today. I want to encourage you to become a good friend of discomfort, comfort, and delayed gratification. Did you know that being okay with discomfort and delayed gratification is the greatest indicator in child psychology of success as an adult? And it is actually something you can teach yourself. Now, kids, probably some come better than others. Probably the oldest child is probably a little bit better at that, and probably like girls are better than boys. But it is something you can learn. It's the thing between you and getting healthy. It's the thing between you and personal development.
It's the thing between you and being there for the people that need you, is that very often that those situations require some discomfort.
And so I just think that giving in to discomfort
is the main reason why we let it happen in life.
The last reason, and it's a good reason, they're afraid. It's scary to see a man dying in a road. It's even more scary to see that he's dying not because he's hot, he's dying because he was beaten up and robbed.
And so it's like, where are those robbers? Are they still around?
Let's get out of here.
And yet we can also see that fear is a major indicator of something that's going to ruin your life, right?
Fear, it's scary, right? It's so scary. And yet the Bible says, fear not is the most repeated command in the Bible.
Did I say the Bible says that? That doesn't even make any sense.
Let me say that again. Fear not is the most repeated command in the Bible. Fear destroys our good works.
It destroys our success, causes us to not take
risks, destroys our imagination.
And so this is the main reason why we see that these men missed out on the greatest opportunity of the day to impact and make a difference in someone's life, but not the Samaritan. And here's the crazy thing about the Samaritan. The Samaritan had all the same excuses and all the same reasons, if not to a greater degree. Here's one thing.
Yeah,
oil is expensive, so is wine, and he poured it on the wounds of the man.
Gold is expensive. Donkeys are expensive.
This makes the man a target. He's a greater target than the Levites are. Levites can't even own property.
And yet none of these things affected him. Being a rich man, self-importance and hurry didn't get in the way.
Propriety didn't get in the way, right? It's not proper for a Samaritan to help a Jewish man. Discomfort didn't get in the way.
Fear and caution didn't get in the way.
That being a generous, servant kind of person is the thing that makes life worth living.
That it's not going to matter. The money actually isn't going to matter. And safety's not going to matter.
Propriety is certainly not going to matter. You're not going to, on your deathbed, go, I had the best manners. Right? None of those things will matter. Here's what's going to matter. What was the impact that you made? That will be what matters.
Amen. I want to encourage you, just as in closing,
to make a decision today to follow Jesus Christ. Many of us have messed up. We haven't been there for people in the way that we could have. We've yelled at our kids. We've hurt our neighbors. We've done things that we regret. I want you to know that your life can be saved. And all of the stuff that you've done can be washed clean. If you're worried about where you're going to go when you die, you don't have to worry about that. You can be at peace with God today. So I want to encourage you this morning or this evening, wherever you're watching, to make a decision to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, and you will be saved. To believe on him, and you will inherit eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and we want you to know, Lord, that we love you. Help us to have eyes to see. Help us not to elevate ourselves into some kind of ego or importance. Lord, we just trust you, and we thank you that you've chosen us to create and to guard your creation. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar de podcast van deze week. We hopen dat deze boodschap jou heeft bemoedigd. Wil je meer weten over Hour of Power of dagelijkse bemoedigingen ontvangen? Ga dan naar www.hourofpower.nl.